They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Financial overhaul will be law.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. President Obama says the financial overhaul bill passed yesterday lays the foundation for a stronger financial system. He'll sign the bill next week. Republicans call the measure heavy-handed. House GOP leader John Boehner says he'll work to get it repealed. Goldman Sachs will pay a $500 million fine to settle a case brought by federal regulators. The investment bank was charged with misleading customers about a trade based on subprime mortgages. If the settlement is approved, it will be the biggest one in the history of the Securities and Exchange Commission. Marketplace's Elisa Roth joins us live from New York to talk about it. And first of all, Elisa, who gets the $500 million?
The U.S. government will get $300 million. And if you're trying to figure out what your share of that is as a taxpayer, it's less than a dollar. Two European banks, which lost money on the investment Goldman got in trouble for, will split the rest. Goldman didn't have to admit guilt in any of the charges, but it did say it should have been clearer in its marketing materials. And it also promised not to commit intentional fraud in the future, though it seems safe to assume that banks are never supposed to commit intentional fraud.
Right. Now, Goldman wasn't the only bank trading in these risky mortgages. What does this mean for other banks?
At the very least, it means the Securities and Exchange Commission is paying attention. At the press conference yesterday to announce the settlement, the person in charge of the SEC's enforcement said the agency's looking into deals at B of A, Morgan Stanley, Deutsche Bank, and really all of the big players. It seems fairly likely we'll see more settlements like this one, because even if they cost the banks, it's better than having their names dragged through the mud. The other thing here is that these banks make billions of dollars a year. So in that context, a couple of hundred million really just isn't that much money.
Marketplace's Elisa Roth. Elisa, thank you.
You're welcome.
BP has finally capped the Gulf oil leak. If the cap holds, experts will be able to start to figure out how much oil spilled into the water. Reporter Adrian Hill says the number they settle on has big implications for BP.
The bigger the spill, the bigger the fines for BP.
It could be quite large.
Kathy Milliston is an analyst with Morningstar. BP could be fined $1,100 to $4,300 per barrel of oil spilled. That can add up fast, depending on the final size of the spill.
Anywhere from $4 billion to $45 billion.
You'd think BP might have every reason to lowball the numbers, but University of Michigan professor David Ullman says it's better for the company to play nice.
We should be clear that the maximum penalty is not the same as what the actual penalty will be.
Ullman says when the government sets the fine, it'll consider just how cooperative BP has been. For Marketplace, I'm Adrian Hill.
Adrian wanted to see how scientists estimate the size of the oil spill, so she took a trip to NASA's Jet Propulsion Lab. You can see an audio slideshow of what she found at our website, marketplace.org. Let's do the numbers. Not much to say about stocks this morning. They're flat, except in Japan, where investors worried exports will drop. The Nikkei fell sharply. Yesterday, the Dow Industrials gave up 7 points and closed at 10,359.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by MassMutual, offering retirement and 401k plans to businesses for more than 60 years. MassMutual.com/retirestrong.
Can you identify this sound? That would be a quarter going into a parking meter. The first time anybody heard that was 75 years ago today in Oklahoma City. Andrea Bernstein reports from WNYC in New York. Not everybody finds this a reason to celebrate.
Mike Krumholtz knows how he wants to party. He'd figure out the number of parking meters in the city.
So I would say we get that number and then file the same amount of sticks of dynamite and blow them off simultaneously.
Out on the street in Brooklyn, Anthony Lamondri doesn't much like meters either.
Sick and tired of paying them. Every hour he has to come back and put more quarters.
The idea for parking meters began in Depression-era Oklahoma City. Jeff Breeley of the Oklahoma History Center says by 1930, the number of cars in the state had ballooned to 550,000.
Parking spaces in downtown would fill up, and there was just, it was a problem finding a parking spot.
Breeley says a businessman named Carl McGee noticed spots weren't occupied by shoppers, but by shopkeepers.
They would just leave their cars in the parking spot near their store all day long.
So McGee designed a parking meter. Store owners left the metered spots to their customers. Even though it was the Depression, mostly the new system was popular with patrons.
For a change, they would then have a parking spot.
Well, not everyone loved it. At the beginning, Breeley says, some people did stop by to complain.
Why should I pay a nickel for, you know, what I ought to be able to do free and have done for free every day up until now?
Back on the streets of Brooklyn, speech therapist Debbie Schubelik was pulling into a spot.
I know it's good for businesses because they need a rotation of people coming in and out. They don't want people parked all day. But at the same time, it's like, why do I have to pay 25 cents for 5 minutes to run into a bank?
And then, if you don't make it back in time, there's always the traffic agent printing out a ticket and tucking it under your windshield wiper.
No, I did not see that I had a ticket. Damn.
Happy birthday, parking meter. In New York, I'm Andrea Bernstein for Marketplace.
And finally, for your convenience, here's the entire week's business news compressed into a Marketplace minute. The oil has stopped leaking, loosely speaking. BP's still tweaking. Havoc still wreaking. The drug Avandia came in handy a decade ago. Diabetes, you know. The drug attracts some heart attacks, but weighing the facts, the FDA backs it. Goldman Sachs disputes the facts, but settles its fraud case, and the stock reacts. Earnings season, so far, pleasing. There's a smile on the face at Morgan Chase. And Alcoa, as well as Intel, did swell. It seems the nation's corporations don't share in our deprivations. Financial reform survived the storm, but it won't stop a bubble, and we're all still in trouble. The economy's in the gutter, a ship without a rudder. Food prices fall, including butter, but the golfing world is all a flutter because Tiger Woods has switched his putter. He's not made for one putter. He needs to be free. I'll see you at marketplace.org. This is the Marketplace Morning Report in Los Angeles. I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.